perhaps this year.
Okay, we are on the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Rava Havabadik Legira Rabbi Yoina Bar Tachlifa. So Rava checked the arrow of Rabbi Yoina Bar Tachlifa, the Shachat Ba'oifa Bahadi Deparech, and he shechted a bird while it was flying by shooting the arrow, and the arrow sliced through in a wave, Haylacha, through the neck of the bird, and it was a kosher shechita. Says the Gemara, the Dilma Avid Chalada, how could you do this? Maybe the arrow would have gone underneath the skin and done Chalada and gone between the simonim and pierced it. Chazin, so he says, no. Chazin and Gidfi Demifrimi. We could see that the feathers around the neck, they have been sliced. That if it was done in a way of Chalada, then what would have happened was it wouldn't just slice through all the way on the outside. It would have gone in and then poked out. But since it didn't, we could see that there was no Chalada. Says the Gemara of another concern, Bahabai Kisui, you have to cover over the blood. So how do you cover over the blood when you shoot a bird up in the sky? And if you're going to tell me he covered it, he found the blood on the floor and he covered it. But Amar Rabbi Zeir, but didn't Rabbi Zeir say in the name Amar Rav? It's not enough just to put the sprinkling the earth on top of the blood. There has to be earth underneath. Shenema, the pasuk says, v'chisohu be'afar. You should cover it in the earth. Afar le'nema. It does not say v'chisohu afar, covered with earth. It says be'afar, ela be'afar. Melamed sha'sheichet tzarech she'yitin afar lamata v'afar lamayla. Meaning the blood must be be'afar in the earth, that there has to be also earth underneath it. So he says, the mazmin le'la afar the kula piska, that maybe we're talking about a case where he prepared earth for the entire valley. As Rashi says over here, either it means that he brought and covered the entire valley with earth, or the valley was made up of afar tichoyach, soft earth already, and he was mazmin bepeh, he designated it for the purpose of kisui hadam. But anyway, either way, we see that he can have shchita in a way of a chet, that it's in a way of haylacha. Says the Gemara, back to the Mishnah, Haya Sheichet Vihitis. So it says that if you shecht and you cut off the head, so we then said that if you did it in one go, it is pasul, unless you have in the sakin meloy tzavar, unless the sakin is wide enough for a neck's length. Amar Rabbi Zeira says meloy tzavar v'chutz tzavar. What does it mean in the Mishnah where it says meloy tzavar, that the knife must be the length of a neck and outside of the neck, extra? What does that mean? Ibaylahu, they asked the question, meloy tzavar v'chutz tzavar k'meloy tzavar. When it says meloy tzavar v'chutz tzavar, does that mean that you have to have a knife that's long enough for the neck of the animal and it extends outside of the neck another neck's length of an animal? Double utrei tzavari, and therefore the Mishnah means that the knife must be two neck's lengths long. Oidilma meloy tzavar v'chutz tzavar mashu. Or maybe when Rabbi Zeira says meloy tzavar v'chutz tzavar, he means that the knife must be as long as the neck. And when he says chutz tzavar, means a little bit extra. Maybe not a whole neck's length. So which way is it? Tashma, come and learn proof from the following. The Mishnah then says, Haya sheichet v'hitis shnei roshin bevas achas. If you're shechting two animals which are lined up next to each other in one go, then im yesh besakin meloy tzavar echad, if the knife has one neck length, then kosher, then the shechita is kosher for both animals. Now, my meloy tzavar echad, what does it mean if the knife has one neck's length? Ile meloy tzavar echad, if it means exactly one neck's length, v'suloy, and not anymore. So hang on one second. Hashta bebehema achas. When it comes to shechting one animal, but in a meloy tzavar v'chutz tzavar, Rabbi Zeri says it's not enough just to have one neck's length. It must be one neck's length and chutz tzavar. V'shtei behema sagi luhub k'meloy tzavar. So then you would think if you're shechting two animals, it's enough just to have one knife that's one neck's length. Tzavar echad. El pshita, rather, you have to say meloy tzavar chutz l'shnei tzavarin. It must mean an extra neck's length, meaning however many animals you are shechting, you need to have a neck's length for those animals, plus an additional neck's length. So if you're shechting one animal, the knife must be two neck's lengths long. And if you're shechting, that's if you do it just
to allow for
the halacha, and without being choshesh for drasa. Whereas if you're shechting two animals, the knife would need to be three long. And says the Gemara Shema Minam Meloy Tzavar Chutz Tzavar, and therefore we can now resolve that when Rabbi Zeira says that it must be Meloy Tzavar V'Chutz Tzavar, it means an additional length. Shema Minam, we can conclude from this. Okay, then the Mishnah says, when do we say that the knife needs to be that long? That is only if you're shechting either with just a halacha, just with a forward movement, or just with a meshicha, just with a pulling back movement. But if you're doing hoilichu mevi, you're going back and forth, then afilu koshu, even the smallest blade would be good enough, even an ismail, even a scalpel. So says the Gemara, when was this? Bizman shoheilich v'loy hevi. Amar Rav Menashe, Rav Menashe says, be'ismail she'ein lor karnayim. What ismail, what type of scalpel are we talking about? One that does not have horns. Rashi says that they used to make types of little horns at the tops of the scalpels for decoration at the top pointed. You have an example over there. There we go. They would have two little points on them. They would go out to the sides, and since it was very small, you would be able to use that to shech. But if it's got the points at the end, then we're worried that maybe they would do chalada, that these points will poke into the skin, and therefore you cannot use such a scalpel. Okay,
Amalei. Isn't that obvious?
Isn't that
a knife that has a little chip that you can have something with these horns?
No, even if you were being careful just to shecht in the middle bit, even if you were being careful, we're still worried that maybe the edge would poke into it. Okay. Amalei Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Avil Rav Menashe Machta Mai. So we said b'kol shu. If you're doing halacha b'hava, then you could even the smallest amount. Well, what if I use the point of a needle? I'll take the point of the needle and I'll go back and forth.
Taking it to the extreme.
Yeah, says the Gemara, Amalei Machta Mivza Baza, that certainly a needle is going to pierce. Meaning you can't be careful just to be moilich or maybe the needle, because it's very sharp, so certainly it's going to pierce through, and therefore you cannot use a machta. Says the Gemara, machta de ushkefi. What about the machta of a shoemaker? Rashi says over here that it's talking about the needle of the shoe craftsman. That whilst the top of it is a point, but the sides are sharpened. The sides of it are sharpened because it would be used to cut the weaving strings that they would use. So even though the top is pointed, but the sides of the needle are sharp. So could I use those sides to do the shchita? Says the Gemara, Amalei, with Tanina, we've already taught this in the Mishnah. So theirs was different to ours. Theirs was a little bit different to ours.
So it probably wasn't like a roundish needle.
It has to be long.
It would have to have length, and the edges of it was sharp.
Yeah, sharp in order to slice the
correct.
A flat needle rather than a little.
Yeah. So he says. So he says like this. Amalei. He says Tanina. We learned this in our Mishnah. Afilu kol shehu. It says you could, if you're doing halacha vahava, then you could shecht with something of even any length. And then he says. Afilu koshu, says the Gemara, my love machta de ushkefi. Isn't this talking about this particular type of the machta of the shoemaker? Says the Gemara, loy, no, ismel. It's talking about a scalpel. Says the Gemara, ismel behedya katani la. The Mishnah clearly lists afterwards, it lists afilu be ismel. Mashma, that what it says beforehand, afilu koshu, is not talking about a scalpel. What is it talking about? The machta of the ushkefi. Says the Gemara, no. Says the Gemara, when it says afilu ismel, it's not saying something different. It's being mefarish. It's explaining what it says beforehand when it says afilu kolshu. Says the Gemara, my kolshu. What does it mean when it says in the Mishnah, if you're doing back and forth motions, you could shecht even with a blade kolshu? It means ismel. And this makes sense. Why the isak daitach machta de ushkefi? That if you would think that it's talking about a machta de ushkefi, hashta machta de ushkefi sharia. If this machta of the shoemaker is okay, which we're assuming is more substantial, ismael mibayi. Do you have to even then teach an ismael? Of course, an ismael scalpel would be good. Says the Gemara, no. Ismael istrichale. You have to teach the case of a scalpel. Sakodaita chamina. I might think to say ligzer ismel she'en la karnayim ato ismel she'yesh la karnayim kam mashmalan. That you might think that you cannot shecht with any scalpel, lest you come to shecht with a scalpel which has these little points at the end. Therefore, the Mishnah needs to clearly specify a case of a scalpel. Okay. Now we come to a new Mishnah, and this is whether one needs to actually have kavana for shchita. Says the Mishnah. Nafla sakin, if you dropped your knife, the shachta, and in the path of the knife as it falls to the ground, it shechts an animal. Afa pisha shachta kedaka, even if it shechts the animal in a proper kosher way, pesula, the shchita is pasul. Why? Shenema, the pasuk says, v'zavachta v'achalta, you will shecht and you will eat. What does this mean? Masha ata zaveach ata eichel, that which you shecht, you shall eat. Meaning, the shchita has to come mikoyach adam, has to be through man's koyach. When you drop a knife and the force of gravity, the knife falls down, that's not your koyach. And therefore, the shechita is pasul. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Therefore, taima denafla. The reason the shechita is no good is because the knife fell. Hahi pila, but if you threw it down, that is your koyach. You throw the knife down in a downward motion, and then it shecht. If so, it should be kasher huk sheda. So he says, what does that mean? Even though you didn't have kavana, I took my knife and I was angry, and I throw the knife and it shechts the animal, it's kosher. I didn't have kavana to shecht, and yet we say it implies that it's kosher. Means you don't need to have kavana for shechita. Says the Gemara, man tana deloy bayne kavana shechita. Who is the tana who says you do not need to have kavana for shechita? Amar Rava, Rava says, Rabbi Nassan, it's Rabbi Nassan. The Tani Oshai is the Ira de Min Chavraya. Oshai is the Ira from the Chabura. Rashi gives two Pirushim what this means. Either it means he was the youngest from the Chabura, the youngest of the group of rabbis, or his name was Oshai is the Ira. He was the younger Oshai from, and he came from the Chavraya. Zarek Sakin, he taught. Zarek Sakin Lonoyetza Bekoisa. If you throw a knife to stick it, wedge it into the wall. And while it was flying through the air, it shechts an animal. Rabbi Nassan machshir. Rabbi Nassan says it's kosher. The Chachamim poison. Chachamim say it is pasul. Meaning, Rabbi Nassan says it's kosher because you don't need kavana for shechita. The Chachamim say you do need. Say who tani? But so is the case of shooting. So is the same as shooting the arrow.
And what about the machat?
The shooting the arrow. It's as long as that it's got an edge, a side.
Flat end.
Square. Okay. Which technically also has a point in the corners. I mean, that's okay. So he says. Who tani lava who amala? He taught the brisa and he also said halacha k'Rabbi Nassan. The halacha is like Rabbi Nassan. You don't need kavana for shechita. Says the Gemara. Va'am Rava chadazimna. But Rava already taught us this, that we follow Rabbi Nassan, that you do not need kavana for shechita, or that Rabbi Nassan is one who says you don't need kavana for shechita. So he says, why? The Tanan, it says all the way back at the beginning of the Gemara, if you remember, that all of these people, the Katan and the Cheresh, etc., who shecht, and there is a Gadol who's standing watching over them to make sure they do a right job, the Shechita is Ksheira. Right? And there we said, man Tana deloy boy kavana l'shchita. Who is the Tana, therefore, of that mission who says you don't need kavana because a Cheresh and a Katan cannot have kavana? V'amar Rava, Rava says, Rabbi Nassan he. That's Rabbi Nassan. So why over there do we need to say Rabbi Nassan and over here? We know already from one of them that Rabbi Nassan is of the view you don't need kavana for shchita. Why do we need to repeat it in both cases? Says the Gemara, he says, the Iyashmin needs tricha. You need to teach it in both cases. The Iyashmin and Hasam, if would have just taught us over there that it's Rabbi Nassan and you don't need kavana for shchita, so I would think, Mishum de kamechavin l'shum chaticha ba'olam. Why is that good? Because l'chol apachos, the katon or the cheresh, he might not have kavana for shchita, but he has kavana to cut something. He has kavana to cut. But over here, where you're simply throwing a knife into the wall, the loika mechaven, you don't have any kavana to cut at all. I would think aim aloy. I would think that no. Even Rabbi Nassim would tell you that that's no good. The iashmin and hacha, and if it would have just taught us over here in this case, mishum de kaasi mekayach bendas. It's even when you're throwing the knife, but it's coming from an adult who is a bendas. He himself is shaykh to das, and therefore I would think that that's why it's okay. Av a hasam, but over there, de loy kaasi mekayach bendas. Since it's coming from a cheresh or a katan who don't have das at all, aim aloy. I would think that no. In that case, the lack of kavana is invalidating, and therefore tzricha, I need to teach in both cases that Rabbi Nassan is the author of both of them, and therefore when he says you don't need kavana for shechita, it means not only that you don't need kavana to shecht, but also don't need to have kavana bichal, be a bar kavana, a bar das. Yes.
He's not Masiach Das.
Is he meant to not to talk for those 2 hours?
I don't know. That you have to ask the Shachtim. Maybe it could be that only those in Yonim which are relevant to the Shechita. I don't know. Okay. Itmer was stated on this idea of Kavana. Nida Shenen Savatavla. And Nida, who was. Forget Rosh Hashanah. What do you mean? Shachris. From Hoydu Biz the last Kaddish. No one's talking. Okay. Unheard of. Itmer.
thrown with it, it'd be highly unlikely to shoot.
Correct. As with shooting an arrow that is shechts in the middle of the air, but that's maybe more
and
likely.
Of all people, who was it? Yoina. It's named after a bird.
Okay. Itmer. Nida shenensa v'tavla. If you have a nida, a woman who's nida, she has to go to the mikveh. And here, she is forced into mikveh, meaning she goes under the water without any kavana because she's been forced into the water. And the Gemara later is going to explain, we're talking about a woman who falls off a bridge into a river. So what do we say? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, tahira lebesa. She's... She what?
She has to go to mikveh, but
she was tmei. She was in nida. She needs to go to mikveh. She's walking to the mikveh, and she falls off a bridge into the river.
She's not.
No, you don't. There's ways you can be tovo in clothing also. If they're very loose clothing, it's also possible. Okay, tahira lebesa. So the din is she's tahir for her husband. Vasur lecho betruma bat. Regarding truma, that tefillah is not good enough because it doesn't have kavana. Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Af lebeisa loy tahira." That even for her husband, she is not tahira. Amar le Rav leRav Nachman. So Rav said to Rav Nachman, "LeRav, according to Rav, the Amar tahira lebeisa v'asur lecho b'truma, who says that she's tahir for her husband but is forbidden to eat truma, aven karis hutra isur misa mibai." Then hang on one second. If she's allowed to her husband, then a nida to be with her husband would be an isur karis, which is the most severe form of punishment. And if there she's permitted, so why are you telling me she's also to eat truma? Truma is only an oven misa bidei shamayim for someone who is tamei to eat truma. So if she's mutter to husband, for sure she should be mutter to eat the truma. Says the Gemara, he says, Amalei, he said to him, "Bai lechulin hu v'chulin loy bai kavana." It's not to do with what's a more strict offense or not. It's different categorizations. Meaning, in terms of being permitted to a husband or not, that's a matter of chulin. Whereas eating truma, that is a matter of kodshim, or taras. And when it comes to taras, then you need to have kavana. In matters of chulin, tvila for chulin, you do not need to have kavana. And that's why it's different. Okay, umana temra. Now, where do I learn that for chulin, you do not need to have kavana? The Tanana was taught as follows. Gal shenitlash uboy aboim sa. A person sitting on the beach, and a rogue wave, a very, very fast wave comes, and it's going so fast that it actually detaches itself from the rest of the sea. So, and that wave then passes over him. So if that wave contains within it 40 saw, which is the shear of a mikveh, benafala adam ba'ala kelim, tahirin, they are tahir. Both the person who was tameh or the kelim. My love, adam dumya de kelim. Now since we put adam and kelim over here in the same scenario, aren't we talking about the same? Ma kelim doylem loy mechavni, af adam nami loy bai kavana. Just as kelim don't have kavana, so too the adam doesn't need kavana. Meaning, no one sits on the beach. What do you mean? He was not planning to. If he's sitting on the beach and the water's over there, he's not planning on going to the mikveh. And yet we say all of a sudden this wave comes over him, and that's good enough. He doesn't need to have kavana. Says the Gemara, Mimai. Why did you deduce that? Dilma b'yoshev metzapa askina. Maybe we're waiting for someone who's sitting on the beach, waiting for a rogue wave to detach itself and cover him over. Emas ay yitla shagal. When will a wave detach itself and come over me? If so, v'kelim dumya da adam. Well, then we say, and kelim are like a person, meaning ma adam d'ba'in and kavana, just as the person needs to have kavana, and we'll say that he's sitting and waiting for the wave to come over him. Af kelim nami d'kam echavin luhu adam, so too with kelim, you need to have the kavana of the adam who is immersing them, that whilst the kelim themselves can't have kavana, but the person immersing them should have kavana. V'chitem b'yoshev metzapa, and if now you're talking about a case where the person is sitting on the beach waiting for it to come, my lememra, what's the chiddush over here? It's got 40 saw, it's a kosher mikveh, and he's got kavan. I mean, you wouldn't need to teach that case. So obviously we're teaching you a case where he didn't have kavan. Says the Gemara, no, it's still necessary. Mal detemi, you might have thought. Ligzer mishum chardolis shel geshamim. That we should make a gzeder because of a chardolis shel geshamim. What does that mean? We know that mayim geshamim, rainwater is kosher as a mikveh. But if the rainwater is running and flowing, then it is not kosher as a mikveh. The wave, because it's coming from a mayan, so to speak, the ocean, that would be kosher. Right, but you might think that person will think, well, if you could go in a wave, then maybe you could go on a mountain where the water is running down the hill and go in that as well, or it's to do with kataphras, where that considers joining the water, etc. You might have thought that inami alternative ligzer rushin ato kipin. You might have thought that you shouldn't go in a wave at all because maybe we'll make a gzera from the rushin. What will happen is the crest of the wave will crash onto a person. That is good because that's on the ground. But if the wave passes over you and you're in the middle, that's not considered as on the ground, and therefore I think maybe make a gzeder that lest you go in the kippin Or in the Atut Kippin, Kamash Malef, or it tells you the Loi Gazrin. No, the Brisa tells you that the, such a mikveh is kosher. To tell you we don't make such a gzera. Umana temre deloy matbelin and bekippin. How do you know that you can't be toivo in the kippah of the wave? So tonight we learn matbelin berashin ve'en matbelin bekippin. You're allowed to be toivo
when it cools.
The kippin is where it crests over and it comes down onto you. Where part that comes down, whereas the kippin is the
space, the empty space.
The space in between.
This is a halacha for surfing, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he says, "Ve'ein matbilin b'kippin, she'ein matbilin ba'avir." The reason is because you can't be tovel in the avir. Tefillah has to be on the ground. Elachulin deloy bay kavana miyam menalat. But we haven't resolved this issue. Where do I know that mikveh for chulin does not need to have kavana? So I'll tell you a proof. The Tanar we learned in the Mishnah, peidush enafel toich amas amayim. If you had fruits that fell into a stream of water, upashad misha yald of tameyos, and a person who had tamei hands put his hands into the water to retrieve the fruit, menatlan yald of tahoros, his hands are tahor. Upeiros einan bechiyutan, and the peiros, however, they are not considered rendered. We said that for something to be rendered mukshel tuma, to make makabel tuma, they have to be wet and they have to have the water coming on it ladas.
Yeah, bechiyutan means he wants it to be.
He wants the water to be there deliberately. So in this case, what's happening when he puts his hands into the water? He doesn't have intention to toivel them. Right?
I don't know, but they fell in. He's pulling them out.
Well, he puts his hands in not to just to take them out. So the toilet. And the peiros, since he is not having intention for washing his hands at all, therefore, when the peiros fell in, there was no kavana that they should become wet. When you take them out, there's no kavana specifically that they should be wet. Therefore, they are not bechiyutan. The imbishvil sheyutchu yadav. But if you put your hands in there with the intention that while I take the fruit, I also want to tovel my hands to make them tahor, yadav tahoros, the hands are tahor also. Upeiros bechiyutan. And the peiros are now, in this case, bechiyutan. And the reason Rashi says over here, the peiros are Bechiyutan is the other Torah. Bepeiros bechiyutan umekabin tumah mikan vaelach. Why the achshav v'lahach nefilas peiros little yada bagbasan bavalei mashke shesoifel l'rotzit. Meaning, even though when they first fell into the water, there was not berotzit, that since you now want the water on your hands, because you want to matar your hands, it becomes berotzin also for the moisture on the fruit. But either way you look at it, even in the reisha where you put your hand into the water without the kavana to be matar them, we say they're tahar nonetheless. So what do we see? The tefillah shaloi bekavana l'shem chulin is kosher. Says the Gemara, Eis ve'rav l'rav Nachman. No, we're makish the two together. Yeah. So he says they challenged Rav Rav Nachman. Tavel l'chulin v'huchzak l'chulin, that if a person was toivel for the purpose of chulin v'huchzak, he had kavana for chulin, asur l'maiser, that mikveh does not work for him to eat maiser. Huchzak in, what do we see from this? That even in the case of chulin, it's only if he had kavana. Loi huchzak loi, but if he didn't have kavana, then loi. What does that seem to suggest? That even for chulin you need to have kavana. Says the Gemara, no, Hachi Kamar, this is what it's telling you. Afa pishuch sukl chulin. Even in a situation where you went to the mikveh for chulin and you had kavana for chulin, still asur lemaiser, you are also to eat maiser. But it's not telling you any din on the tefillah for chulin itself. The tefillah chulin lav dafka needs to have kavana. Eisvei, they challenged again. Tavav lehuchza ki'il le'tavol. It says if a person immerses and he did not have kavana, it's as though he did not immerse at all.
So how are you touching here, huchza?
Huchzuk Rashi says, Niskaven b'shas tvila lekach. My love, ki illo tavo klau. When it says ki illo tavo, that seems to say in all circumstances. If you didn't have kavana, it's not a valid immersion. It says the Gemara, loy ki illo tavo lemaiser. Right? For trumas, for taras and kolchim, it's not good enough. But for chulin, it is good. Aval tavo lechulin, aval tavo lechulin is good for chulin. Okay. Then he said, "Who savored the chuyukam madchilei?" He thought that Rav Nachman was just pushing him off, and it wasn't really genuine. So therefore, he went to do his research. Nafak dak, he went to go out and look, and he found va'ashkech the Tanya Brisa taught clearly. Tavav loy huchzik mutter lechulin va'asul lemaiser. Very clear teaching that if you go to the mikveh and you did not have kavana, nonetheless, it works for chulin. You don't need kavana for chulin. But for Maisa, you do. It's no good because you need to have kavana. Amala by the Rav Yosef. If so, says Abai to Rav Yosef, lemetevet to yuvto the Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say that this brisa that says that huchsuk tavav loy huchsuk mutal luchulin is a tiyuvto to Rabbi Yochanan. Maha. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, he says Rabbi Yochanan will tell you who the Amak Rabbi Yosef ben Yosef. Yes, you're right, that price is a problem. But I say like Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, the Tanya ben Yonasan ben Yosef, Omer Bekubas, the Pasuk says with regards to a Mitzvah, it says, it says, Vahabegero Yashio Yairev Oikokli Ur Asher Techabes that was washed, Vesar Mehem Anaga, and then the Negev Tsaras went a way, the chubas shenis v'tahir, it then has to be immersed a second time and it is tahir. So it says v'chubas, ma tamu loy meshenis, why does it have to say a second time? It's clear from the pasuk that it is the second time. Makish tichboises shnia lichboises rishena, what we're trying to do is by calling it shenis, is we're equating the first immersion to the second immersion to the first immersion. Ma tichboises rishena ladas, just as the first one, which is for tahara, needs to be with kavana, after tichboises shnia ladas, so to the second one, even though that is no longer for tahara, also needs to have das. Says the Gemara, if so, imal halam ba'in das koyen, if with regards to the first tevila, which needs the das of a koyen, like it says in the pasuk, v'tzivah ha-koyen v'chibsu, afkan be'in a das koyen, maybe here you need das koyen as well. Tamaloyma, the pasuk says, v'taher, it will be pure, mikol makom, however it's done, whether it's das koyen or not. So therefore we see from this, the Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef's view is that even for chulin, tevila needs to have kavan, and Rabbi Yochanan holds like him. Maskiflo Rav Shimi bar Ashi, umi amar Rabbi Yochanan, hachi did Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Baha Amar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan, one second, did he say that chulin does not need kavana? Va Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha kestam mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan said a cloud, the halacha follows the stam mishnah. Utnan, and we learned in the mishnah, our mishnah, nafla sakin v'shachta, if the sakin falls and it shechts, afa pisha shachta kedaka psula, even if it shechts in the proper way, it's possible. Vavinamba, we said time, the reason is, the nafla, ha hi pila, but if you threw it and it comes with the koyach of a person, who ksheira it, then would be kosher, but afa gavda loy mechavin, even though there's no kavana v'shchita. And that stam mishnah says that chulin doesn't need kavana. So how could you say that Rabbi Yochanan says that for chulin you need to have kavana? Says the Gemara, "Vamrin man tanel deloy boy kavan al shchita." Amar Rava Rabbi Nasani, that it's Rabbi Nasani. So he says, "No, b'shchita afil Rabbi Yonis and Yosef. When it comes to shchita, even Rabbi Yonis and Ben Yosef would agree that you don't need kavana for chulin. Why? Midigali rachmana misasef bekadshim pasul. Since the Torah speaks only in a case of a person who shechts without kavana for kadshim, that it is pasul, as it says, lirtzoin chem tiz bachul." You have to do it with your rotten, with your kavana. Michlal, that implies that it's only for kodshim you need to have kavana for shchita, but chulin loy ba'in and kavana for chulin, you don't need it. Now, if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan would agree with this stam mishnah, and he would agree over there that for tvila, however, immersion, you do need to have kavana even for chulin. Now, hang on one second, v'rabbanan, what about the rabbis in our mishnah who say that it would be no good, nehi delo boin kavan l'zvicha? So they, what would they tell you? You're right. Even though for chulin you do not need to have kavana for zvicha, for shchita, nonetheless, the chaticha be'inin, you need to have kavana for cutting. And when you throw a knife, there's no kavana for cutting, let alone kavana for zvicha. So he says like this, Amar Rava, with this, Rabbi Yossi defeats the Rabbi Nassan defeats the Rabbana. Yeah. Miksiv chatachta. The pasuk doesn't say v'chatachta. It says v'zavachta. You should shecht. Meaning the ikar is the kavan on the shchita. Ksiv. If you, and we would say like this, if you need to have kavana for cutting, afilu zvicha nami liboy. The Torah doesn't say anything about cutting, it says zvicha. So if you're going to tell me you need kavana for cutting, you need to have kavana for zvicha, for shchita. I loy beini kavana lezvicha, and if you don't need kavana for shchita, lechaticha nami loy boy, you don't need kavana to cut either. And therefore, either way, memanevshach, your position doesn't make sense. And therefore, my position where if you throw the knife, that would be good, and you don't need kavana either l'shchita or l'chaticha, but your position that you need kavana l'chaticha and not l'zvicha, that doesn't make sense. Okay. Okay, hechi dami. Let's go back to our case of the nida. Hechi dami nida shenensa v'tavla. What's the case of a nida who is forced and she toivels without any das? I lemida anza chaverta. If it's talking about a case where a woman pushes her under the water, etbala, and she pushes her under to toivel her, kavan the chaverta, kavan mali asahi. So even though the woman who's going under doesn't have kavana, but the kavana of the woman putting her under, that should work.
As opposed to the toivel leech.
Yeah, correct. Now, how do I know that? He says, and she could even eat truma, meaning it's an absolutely valid kavana. How do I know that? The Tanah and the Mishnah says, a woman who is either a deaf mute or a shoita or a blind woman, a woman who loses her senses, her mind. The issue is like this, as we're going to learn in Nida, that woman has to make bedikas internally to check from time to time to make sure she's tohoda to be able to eat from truma. And that requires a certain level of das. But what about if you've got a cheresh, a shaita, she's not a bastas. So we have pikhois women who are intelligent women. They do the bedikas for them. And that counts as a proper kavana. So too over here. I'm a Rabbi Papa. Rabbi Papa says Rabbi Nathan. What are we talking about? Shenaflim in Agesha. It's talking about a woman who fell off the bridge. And that's her kavana. Well, the Rabbanan and the Rabbanan who say that, no, you need to have kavana. What's the case? She yarda lahakir, where even though she didn't have kavana for mikveh, she had kavana to go under the water, l'chol hapachas. And we'll stop there, Be'ezus Hashem.